something for God's people, not just today and not just tomorrow, but next year and several years on down the road. I know what it is to talk about the restoration of the church. I know what it is to talk about the destruction of Babylon, about the Battle of Armageddon. I can talk about down through the next 1,000 years. I can talk about the last 2,000 years and even 2,000 years before that. But what about today? Right now, we can become justified now. This is the important part for us, is to be justified, stay justified. When the Word of God comes forth and we hear it, let's don't just jump up and down and say, whoo, hallelujah, whoo, hallelujah, and then go into a fire and forget about the good Word of God that we heard. But put it into practice. Begin to say, God, I know that on the other side of this trial, on the other side of this test, I know there's something waiting for me that's called victory. Look, did you know all you have to do in order to get through to the other side is to just keep staying? Brother Talley made the statement a while ago. He said, I was the first one in my family to graduate high school. He said, I don't really know how that happened or why. The brother sitting beside me said, well, he just kept going. He just kept going. And I'm sure if you were to go back to those years when Brother Talley was in high school and he's going up and down them rows of cotton, that those were not ice cream and cake days. And I'll bet you he knows what in high cotton means. Man, we're in high cotton today. You know what that means? Let me tell you what it means. Did you know that most cotton grew about this high? And you pick cotton all day, guess how you stand? You're not standing here like this, going down them roads. And I'm not about to show you how the position of it because my back won't hardly take it. But I can tell you what, you're going down that road, bent over, pulling this bag of cotton behind you, and it's getting heavier all the time. It's not getting lighter. You think cotton doesn't weigh something? You get out there and pick it for a while. You'll find out that cotton's got some weight to it. You just keep picking that cotton and throwing it in that bag, it adds up. Brother Crow, when you went and told us here sometime back that you could pick 400 pounds a day, picked 475 pounds of cotton a day for 5 days in a row. That's grabbing cotton. Made no difference whether it's high or low. We still had to get a lot of cotton bowls. I'm telling you that. That's a lot of cotton. If he emptied that bag 4 times in that day, I don't know, did you get to empty it 4 times or just, pardon? You emptied it 5 times? Woo, you got by light on one of them loads, didn't you? He still had nearly 100 pounds of cotton in that thing when he got to the scale. Now, there's some of us, you know, when Ann and I first got married, I weighed 135 pounds. You know, I looked like a scarecrow. Had a guy to run up to me with one of them red hogs, I think what it was, red hog drink. He said, here, drink this. I said, what do you want me to drink that for? He said, man, it's cold today. We need a thermometer bad. You know, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, you know. Some of you didn't get that, I'm sure. It'll come through after a while. But I was a little bitty guy. Went with my wife shopping one day to get a pair of pants. I was married. I was grown and married. You go to the men's department to get pants for a married man, right? A suit. Well, guess where they wanted me to go? To the boys' department. I said, look, I'm a grown man. I'm married. I got a wife. Pride. That's what it was, pride. I didn't recognize it then, but I do now. You know, I weigh well over 235 pounds. So somewhere along the line, I picked up my 100 pounds of cotton. But the point is that the term in high cotton means that you could stand up and pick that cotton. I realize that high cotton's got low bowls on it too, and you got to get them as well, but you still get some relaxation in the fact that you get to stand up to pick it. But we're in God's kingdom. We're in His house. We're His children. And He is our Heavenly Father. And He's interested in our best welfare. You know, and just like we, with our own children, we try to advise them. We try to tell them, don't do this. Don't do that. And the reason that we do that, it's not because, now we don't tell our children, don't do this, don't do that, just because we want to deny them the privileges of living. We're telling our children that because we love them, and if they go into those things, there's going to be some things that will happen to them, possibly death. Did you know that children, young people, can get into things that will cause death to happen to them? My wife read this morning where there was a 16-year-old boy, wasn't it, Ann, that was killed this weekend in Arkansas in a car accident. He was one of five people that were killed over the weekend. But look, young people, did you know that death can take you now just like it can an old person that's old as me? You look around and you say, well, Brother Wayne, you're old. You got one foot in the grave and the other's on a banana peel, but you've had your life. But what we're trying to say is, look, death doesn't measure by age. Death doesn't discriminate one way or the other. We're trying to keep children, young people, we're trying to keep you alive. My dad told me one time, said, son, I want you to know something. Your mom and I could put up with a lot of things out of y'all that this world won't put up with out of it. We could do it. If it's just left up to us, we was the only ones around, we was the only ones y'all ever going to be around. Said, we probably wouldn't ever correct you on anything. But said, we're not the only ones you're going to be around, and this world will not put up with some things that you want to do in life. They won't do it. If they don't call the police to you, they'll go to the house and get a gun and come back. And today it's worse than it was when my dad was dealing with me as a young person. You can get out in a car. My dad, he knew us boys pretty good. And you know, he'd tell us certain things to do. I'll give you one instance that I pulled on him. I was going to the cotton field, and he told me, you know, it'd be all right to drive the car, but he said, whatever you do, don't drive that car out into the cotton field. Guess what I done? You know, I drove that car out to the cotton field. Now, my dad didn't go to the cotton field. He didn't see the tracks that was out there. I knew he wasn't going to go to the cotton field. I knew he wasn't going to see the tracks. But let me tell you what my dad did do. Every morning, just like clockwork, he raised the hood on that car and he checked the oil and the water. And stuck in the radiator of that car was a cotton bowl. Well, I didn't put a hole in it. It just stuck in there so it'd tell off on me is what it done. He come back to the house. He said, "Son, I thought I told you not to drive that car in the cotton field." I said, "You did, Dad." He said, "You did it anyway, right?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I did." I didn't lie about it that time. I knew when he started questioning me, I knew my dad had the goods on me. I knew. I just knew. Here we are serving a God that knows. How was it you put it a while ago? I thought that that was so unique. And that God could hear our very thoughts. I'm so glad it's just God that can hear them. And he doesn't tell off on us. I mean, it's bad enough that he hears them. It's bad. It's worse. You know, it's bad that we think it. It's worse that he hears it. But I'm so grateful that it's just him that's hearing them. But won't you be glad when the day comes that your thoughts will be such that you don't mind even God hearing them? But my thought is that young people, look, we're trying to build a church, not just for ourselves, but we're trying to build a church that Jesus wants, and we're trying to build a church that will do something for your lives, produce something in your life that will cause you to want to make it even better when you get a hold of the reins. Brother Durham, I'm sorry to say this, but it won't be too long. You're going to have to turn the reins over to somebody else. You know, he's got two beautiful grandchildren. Well, three here. How many do you have now, Brother Durham? You got four now. All right. Got three here and one in Republic. Almost lost count of them. I thought I had him right. But we're trying to build a church that will do something for your life. That'll make your life a better life. And try your best to get a revelation of what God is doing in the earth. If you don't get a revelation, it won't do you a bit of good. You got to have something for yourself. Did you know my wife and I raised three children? We love them. They're great. But they don't have a revelation. They really don't. I wish they did. If I could give one to them, I would. You know, I'd shell it out to them, little girl. But it's going to take God dealing with our hearts and lives to give us a revelation. Then if you get a revelation, you know, if you understand that this is a body of Christ, if you get that in your heart and you know that this is God's people, you know that, then stay with it. I don't care what you go through, stay with it. I mean, the waves may roll, the thunder may crash, the storms are going to come, but if you'll stay with it, you're still just. And if you're succumbed by death, you're still just. My Lord, what a hope we have. You're still just. And you'll resurrect in the resurrection of the just. You'll see a church full of glory and power and the wonderful word of God that's doing something for the hearts and lives of people. You see men like Brother Talley stand, and he will, what was the term he used? I wanted to make a... Oh, there's a term that you used a while ago. I want to make a... Not an impact, I think is the word that he used. I want to make an impact. And I'd like to make an impact, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to make an impact Well, let's make an impact in our heart. And then maybe instead of making an impact, why don't we just make a pact first? Lord, I want to serve you. I want to stay true to your people. I want to stay on the job. I want to be here. Come what may, I want to be here because there's something going on. And we can look around and we may think, I don't see a thing happening. I can't see nothing that's taking place. And that may be what we need to do for a while. But if we could see into the hearts and lives of every individual that's come here and that is coming, we could see that there's a change being made. If we could read the pages of the books, that's where I'm going to. If we could read the pages of the books, we could find in there that there's Brother Wayne McGann that was having problems, and because of the Word of God that's been planted in his heart and of the things that he's gone through, he's coming out victorious on the other side. Others, Brother Talley, Brother Weidinger, Brother Durham, Brother Daniels, Brother PK, all these people, begin to read the books that's standing in front of you. Look at them. Analyze them. Say, well, if they can do it, so can I. See, look, you've got to understand that you're a child of God. You've got to get that in your heart. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that makes you a child of God. I don't know why I'm talking along these lines, but I'm trying to emphasize to you, look, you're an important individual. You're an important being. Jesus said, no man comes to me except the Spirit of my Father draws him. The two greatest beings in the whole universe is involved in your salvation. My Lord, the two most powerful beings is involved in your salvation. Can I emphasize that loud enough and long enough and hard enough to get it home to us? That we are children of the most powerful beings and the most important beings in the whole universe. The ones that created the universe. My Lord, what a powerhouse we're hooked up to. If we had an inkling of how powerful the Holy Ghost is, I don't know how you folks have lived your lives, but I've had the unfortunate privileges to be hooked up to electric fences in my lifetime. You know, because I helped Dad, you know, string this wire around the field, and then we hooked it up to these two posts on this box. We plugged this box in and turned the switch on. It's going click, click, click. Now, Dad said, son, in order to find out whether this thing's working or not, you got to test it. There ain't but one way to test an electric fence. That's get a hold of it. And I hate to get shot. I hate it. I mean with a passion, I hate it. Love to do electrical work. Oh, but I hate getting shot. Brother Foster, I seen him put an electrical outlet in with a regular pair of pliers with the electricity on. I know people would say, well, man, that ought to have killed him. What about killed me, and I wouldn't even touch him. You know, just, you know what he done? He just got off that wire. I grew this tree, twisted it up, put it on there, and took a screwdriver and screwed it down. I said, Brother Foster, I can go turn the electricity off. Wait, no, Brother White, so I'll get here just a second. Whew. Not done of me. I'm telling you, I'm not going to do it. If I get shocked, you folks know for a fact. You put it down in your little black books, and that boy didn't do it on purpose. It actually, somebody either turned it on while he's hooked to it, or somebody didn't turn it off like they said they were going to. I don't do electricity with it on. I don't do electricity with it on. So I've been shocked, not only by those electric fences, but also by 110 outlets. I've been nailed by them too. And they tell me that the reason that you're better off getting a hold of 240 electricity than you are getting a hold of 110 is 110 will cause your muscles to contract. If you're getting a hold of something, and you know, when you reach and get a hold of it, if it's 110, you can't turn it loose. Can't get away from it. But if it's 240, you can't hold on to it. It knocks you away. Well, I don't want either one of those. You know, thanks anyway. I've had enough. I've been down that road in my life. I've had plenty. What I want to emphasize is, look, get a hold of somebody that's got enough God in their lives to uphold you in the body of Christ. You can't do it on your own. If you've been in this church and out, back in again, you're fortunate. You're blessed. And I can say that from experience. I know. But it's the blessings of God that deals with our hearts and lives. We're blessed of God if He's brought us back to this people. Find out what it is that takes you out and dodge it like it's the plague, because it is. It's going to destroy your soul. We're here in a soul-saving business. That's what Jesus and God is all about, is they're trying to save our souls. They're trying to get us saved from death. Death reigns in our members. Death has got a hold of us. And they're trying to get us up to a higher plane to where that death no longer rules in our members. Won't we be glad when that takes place? Right now, all you got to do is look at me and say, Brother Wayne, you don't look like you did 20 years ago. You know, death is ruling in my members. But there's coming a time, and the church is going to get glorious enough that death will no longer rule in my members if I apply it to my life. All I have to do is keep staying here. Just stay. Keep on coming. I don't care what happens. I don't care what takes place. Keep on keeping on. And I know this week must be going to be a terrible week for me or something. Because normally a person gets up and he speaks on the things that's going to happen to them. So I don't know what's going to take place. I'm glad to be here tonight and to be a part of what God's doing in the earth. I'm glad to know that God's doing something. See, that's the thing. Know that He's doing something. And know that you're a part of it. And if you're here, you're blessed of God. You're here and you're blessed of God. So I'm glad to be among God's people.
Through the service, I started off this morning after Fred and the kids had already left the house and still trying to get everything together, and I don't know, I was just thinking about all the people in all the churches across the city and across the country, you know, that were heading off to their services and working with Academy and the homeschool groups that I do, and the majority of the people there don't just claim to be Christians, but they really do try to live what they believe. They are very devoted, most of them, in what they do. And I've come to respect many of them, you know, for their they will take a stand. What they believe, they will stand for. And just thinking about them and being in all these different places and knowing that most of them are going in there and with what they know and with what limited truth that they have, they're raising their hands and praising and presenting their sacrifice of praise and their worship. And I was just thinking about that, you know, how those who appreciate what they have, you know, the Bible talks about, God's going to give them more. If they're really hungry, they are going, you know, God's going to meet that. And thinking with all that we have, I know I could praise so much more. I know it's not a question of coming in here and feeling like worshiping. It's not a question of coming in here and even feeling blessed, because often, about the rest of you, but I don't often feel that way because my mind may be on other things and I'm not feeling blessed right then. But to be reminded that I am. And I appreciated those songs. To be reminded that I am blessed. It's not how I feel, but what I have. And I'm thankful for those children. I'm thankful for the times that they get up and remind us of the simple. To just go back to the basics. And to be thankful for those simple things. I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for my children, for my husband. I'm thankful that I've been raised here, not only, first of all, just in a good home, because many people don't have that. I'm thankful for that. But then to go beyond that and to be raised in the body of Christ in His kingdom. I want to be reminded, like that song said, remind me, dear Lord, when I'm tempted to, to get my mind off. And I know we're all seeing all these things happening around us. It seems like in the last year, maybe longer, but for me, in different areas, whether it's my connections at Academy and the homeschool and the job that I do there, whether it's in church, whether it's in among natural family, and it seems like in every area there has been turmoil and tragedy. And I was thinking this past week of the scriptures talking about, you know, in the last days, the thought came to me, earthquakes. There's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. And I thought, boy, if my world has shaken, it has shaken. I've always just thought, you know, natural earthquakes, but I got to thinking this past week of just the shakings and the earthquakes just in, you know, in my life in other areas. And Lord, you know, it just seems like the turmoil and the tragedy. And I was telling a friend at Academy, I said, you know, it's not that there's been any major tragedy in my own life. There's been shaking, but all those around me, the stress, I feel the stress from that. I went to bed the other night and couldn't sleep thinking about the Andersons, and I couldn't sleep. Just imagining. And I can't even go into it all. There's just been so much, and I feel like I'm carrying a lot of that with me, and I feel like that's how it should be to a degree, you know. But just all of this going on. And then today between services, I went downstairs before service was over. My head, it was just pounding. I got this awful headache, so I went down there to lay down for a little bit. And I happened to look on a table there, and Mom had gotten a newsletter from Christian Law Association. And I was looking through it, and of course it's on Thanksgiving coming up, and I don't know if I've ever heard this before, but if y'all don't mind, I feel like I need to read it, because to me, I connected it. I didn't realize the circumstances that were going on when Thanksgiving was made a national holiday. I don't know how many of you are aware of that, but it was in the middle of the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln declared it a national holiday. There had been a lot of proclamations through all the years prior to that. States or the government would proclaim a day of Thanksgiving, but it wasn't actually made a national holiday until this time. And I thought, that was one of the bloodiest times in our nation's history. The tragedy and the turmoil that was going on then. And yet, that was the time that this came about. And in the midst of all that, in his proclamation where he made that holiday, he was laying out all the blessings in the midst of that. Here was our nation torn apart, and yet, and really a sitting duck for any other nation could have come in at that time. But it didn't happen. You know, God, in the midst of all that, there were blessings in so many other areas outside the theater of the war. And at that time, all I would have thought about at the time was the war. Most everybody had family in it, some, you know, relationship or other. And yet he was laying out all the blessings that our country was having at the same time. And if y'all don't mind, I just want to read this because somehow it's just really touched me tonight, and it seemed to hit with everything else that was going on for me in my thinking, in my life. It's President Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed. And harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict, while that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union. Needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe had enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well of iron and coal as of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield. And the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. I don't know, something about reading that just really touches my heart. And I'm thinking of it, I guess, kind of the nation as being our body that we're dealing with right now. There's strife and turmoil and things going on all around. But I want to remember the blessings that while he deals with us in our sins, while he deals with us in our ignorance, he remembers mercy. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful. I just want to lift my hands and praise him and thank him and be reminded of those blessings, that in the midst of all this, we're still his people. We're still his children. And I'm so thankful. This probably won't go of what Sister Lynette said, but I have a confession to make. I give my whole entire heart to God. Not just one part. I'm giving it all to him. Sunday, whenever that night we were down there praying on that bench, I was sitting there praying, and this whole picture came up into my mind, and it was of me sitting down next to the cross, looking up at Jesus, and having his blood drip on me. And as I was looking up, I was saying, why, Lord? Why is it you on that cross? And he looked down. And seeing his face looking down at me, and I asked him, what was he wanting from me? Anything. And I heard this sweet voice saying, all I want is your heart to do whatever I say, to be a part of me. And not to what others do, and like be your own person. And as he was saying that, I felt like arms around me. And the past couple nights, I've been praying and reading my Bible more and more. And as I keep on reading, it's like my whole life is changing. I'm being nicer to my brother. I'm having more love for others. I've seen people walk down the homeless people walk down the street, and I look at them, and I feel so sorry for them. And I'm thankful for everything that I have. Where all this time since the house fire, I've been giving up on God and my own family. I've been hollering at my parents a lot. I've not been nice to my dad. Ever since the fire, I felt like it was all their fault that the fire happened. But it's not. It's nobody's fault why that fire happened. And it was like even Roger got the Holy Ghost last year. My
whole life was black. Nothing changed after I got the Holy Ghost. And now, it's like my whole life has turned into gold. No more blackness. No more sorrow. And I've been on Facebook for the last couple of days, seeing everything that has happened to the Anderson family and the Tyler church. I was very good friends with Amanda and Nathan, and I just pray for their family every day to show them the light that God has shown me. I've made new friends here. I've even made new friends off of Facebook. Some friends that have actually changed my life, in fact. And it's just, it feels so good, because I thought that nobody cared about me. I was just this little piece of dust on this way high shelf that nobody could see. I felt invisible until now. I eventually noticed that there are people that care about what has happened and what our future is for us youth kids. And I'm so thankful that God has changed my heart and my whole new seeing of Him. I've been reading the Bible. I read it almost every single night. And as I've been reading it, it's like I can feel this strong love between me and God. And I just love Him very much. And that's why my dad used to tell me that if you cry, it shows sorrowness. And I'm crying right now, but to me, this is not sorrowness. It shows me that God loves me, for He knows each tear that I shed, and He knows that's for happiness. I just love Him so much. And everybody in here, even though we're related in the body of Christ, y'all are all my brothers and sisters. And I will treat y'all each the same. I just love y'all so much.
cold, He'll keep you warm. Just let Him be your guide. And whenever you're in doubt, Jesus' love will surely bring you out of situations you cannot bear. He's the only one who cares. Jesus will put your life back together, give you peace after stormy weather. No matter whatever your problems, He cares for you. Pieces back together again, 'cause He's that kind of friend. Jesus will put your life back together, give you peace after stormy weather. No matter whatever your problems, He cares for you.
times of need to help you make it through. He will mend your broken heart and give you a brand new start. Put the pieces back together again, 'cause he's that kind of friend.
Brother Durham said, no matter how big the boat is, if you have trouble, you need a good anchor.
A big anchor.
That big cruise ship had all the comforts of home, but they didn't have any power. So anyway, God is good to us. Let's say good night here. And thank God for the good spirit we felt here tonight. And he cares. Just keep that on your heart. He cares. Sister Lynette read that proclamation. Was it a proclamation you read? About Thanksgiving. Let's be thankful. Count our blessings. There are blessings. Just have to look for them sometimes. Count our blessings. And let's know that he cares. So let's say good night. Thank God for his goodness. Lord, we thank you.
Thank you for being
appreciate you.
So kind to
hallelujah.
Jesus,
blessed be your holy name. God, go with your people. Keep your hand up on each.